content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we left off last time at the end of September, so we are starting October now. It has become an autumn ritual for me when I saddle up my white steed with plastic trash bags and a short-handled rake and become the leaf ranger. I drive through subdivisions and neighborhoods in search of fallen leaves, determined to recycle them back into gardens and landscapes. Unlike the Lone Ranger, I have no faithful companion like Tonto by my side. I don't have any room for him or anyone else in my hatchback. It's just me and as many bags of leaves that I can fit into my car without hampering my ability to drive. The leaves I acquire end up as mulch or compost. For that coarse textured look, mulch with leaves right out of the bag. For a finer textured look, shred the leaves with a lawnmower or a leaf shredder. Finely cut leaves look more attractive and tend to stay where you put them. To compost leaves, build piles at least 4 feet in diameter and 3 feet in height. To keep the piles to a manageable size, make them no larger than 5 feet high and 10 feet wide. You can compost leaves by themselves or add fresh vegetable peelings, grass clippings, or other kitchen or yard trimmings. To speed up the composting process, shred the leaves before putting them into the pile. Be sure to avoid adding meat or grease, which may cause odor and attract pests. To create compost quickly, keep the ingredients moist enough so you can squeeze water droplets from a handful of leaves. Aerate or supply air to the pile by turning the materials. In 4 to 9 months, your compost should be ready. Amend your soil with this crumbly, earthy-smelling black gold. Compost supplies very small amounts of plant nutrients and trace elements needed for plant growth. It also attracts and feeds earthworms and other beneficial soil microorganisms. Compost makes an attractive mulch. A 2 to 3 inch layer around shrubs and trees, vegetable gardens, or flower beds will help suppress weeds, conserve soil moisture, and keep the soil cool during the summer months. According to research findings, mulch promotes faster growth of trees and shrubs than does grass or ground covers. So, if some early weekend morning you happen to hear a high yo silver, rest assured that the leaves in your neighborhood will be recycled by the leaf ranger. And we start October with the topic planning for annuals. With the onset of cooler temperatures, begin planning new beds or converting the beds to new plantings of perennials or shrubs. Refer to your journal to guide your decisions to expand your bed, reduce them, or add different kinds of plants. Start making lists of the plants you will need. You will be ready when catalogs arrive in the next couple of months. To help you design new beds, use a garden hose to outline the shape. Enrich the soil with organic matter. Take a soil sample and send it in for testing. For bulbs, though not as famous as major bulbs like daffodils, hyacinth, and tulips, minor spring flowering bulbs such as crocuses, cyclamens, Dutch iris, snowdrops, and winter aconite are quite easy to grow and can be used in a variety of landscape situations. Plant them beneath the rising stems of tulips and daffodils to highlight the color and forms of their taller brethren. Interplant early spring flowering crocuses with ground covers such as vinca. Plant anemones, grape, hyacinths, or crocus en masse in borders. And plant them as a focal point for a perennial border or mixed planting with shrubs. Eye catchers include giant onion with its towering purple globe-shaped flower heads and crown imperial with pendulous flowers topped by a pineapple-shaped crown. For edibles, envision an indoor winter herb garden. Most herbs do very well on a south-facing windowsill. Sweet basil, lemon verbena, summer savory, and tarragon are the exceptions. They either go dormant or shed their leaves excessively. Oregano, thyme, parsley, and sage can all be grown in small pots and trimmed as necessary for the kitchen. Pots of rosemary and sweet bay are equally valuable, though they need more space. In the onion family, windowsill candidates include chives, onion sets, and garlic. The onions and garlic can be stored in pots. If you have only an east or west facing windowsill, try mints such as peppermint, spearmint, or lemon balm. Provided they are sheared regularly, these make excellent houseplants. If you find you have insect pests, it's best to discard infected plants rather than use pesticides indoors. Indoor herbs grow best in a mixture of two parts potting soil to one part coarse sand or perlite. Setting the pots in trays lined with gravel will keep them from getting wet feet should you overwater. Cool temperatures, 60 degrees Fahrenheit, especially at night, will keep herbs at their best. For lawns, as you rake up the fallen leaves from your lawn, recycle them as mulch or compost. For a fine textured mulch, shred the leaves with a lawnmower or a leaf shredder. Finely cut leaves look more attractive and tend to stay where you put them. To compost leaves, researchers recommend building piles at least 4 feet in diameter and 3 feet high. To keep piles a manageable size, make them no larger than 5 feet high and 10 feet wide. Compost leaves by themselves or add fresh vegetable peelings, grass clippings, and other kitchen or yard trimmings. For perennials and ornamental grasses, with the onset of cooler temperatures, expand old beds, create new ones, or rearrange plants. When starting new beds, have the soil tested through your cooperative extension service office. Test old flower beds every 3 years. For roses, identify beds whose soil needs to be tested. Soil testing is best done every 2 or 3 years. Contact your Cooperative Extension Service office for soil testing materials. You can take samples this month or wait until the cooler fall weather arrives. This is also a good month to think about creating new beds, keeping in mind the three basic requirements of roses: 6 hours of direct sunlight per day, a well-drained, fertile location, and room to grow. Mountain gardeners who live where the temperatures reach 10 degrees Fahrenheit should plan to put their roses to sleep under protective blankets of soil or mulch. This will insulate them from freezing temperatures and the seesaw weather patterns of winter, which can tease a dormant bud into waking up too early. Find and stockpile dry mulching material such as wood chips, shredded leaves, and evergreen branches. For shrubs, late-season flowering plants could be considered the Rodney Dangerfields of the plant kingdom. They don't get any respect. How can they? During the spring months, when winter-starved gardeners are looking for a floral feast, they skip over these late bloomers for the sumptuous flowers of azaleas and a multitude of other spring bloomers. They're doomed without blooms, is the credo of plant merchandisers. Even when they reach their peak in late summer and fall, late-season flowering plants will go unappreciated. At this time of year, deciduous shrubs are sporting their fall colors. But give these late-summer treats a second look. Holly Tea Olive, Fortune's Osmanthus, Fragrant Tea Olive, Senna, Sasanqua Camellia, and Tea Oil Camellia are standard fare. Japanese Fatsia is another fall flowering choice. Learn more about these and other late-season flowering plants that will thrive in your corner of the Carolinas. For trees, deciduous trees light up the autumn skies with an assortment of fiery reds, oranges, and yellows. These colors result from the interaction of several pigments, including yellow xanthophyllus, orange carotenoids, and red anthocyanins. The anthocyanins are manufactured by the conversion of sugars in the fall. The other pigments have been there all along, but are not visible until the masking green chlorophyll has disappeared. Okay, so maybe it's not that important to know where these brilliant colors names comes from. But it's good to know the names and cultivars of trees whose fall color would make an important addition to your landscape. For vines and ground cover, if you have a slope whose steepness makes mowing a dangerous gardening activity, plan a low-maintenance solution. Plant under ground covers on the existing slope. Some good slope stabilizers include Asian star jasmine, daylily, English ivy, juniper, liriope, periwinkle, willow leaf, cotton Easter, and winter jasmine. Be sure to choose hardy ground covers adapted to your region and match their preferences for sunlight or shade with the site. On very steep slopes, build a retaining wall to reduce the height of the slope. Above and below the wall, create usable gardening space. If the wall is less than 1.5 feet in height, it could be a do-it-yourself project. Long and steep slopes can be terraced with a series of walls to create several layers of gardening space. And for water gardens, make plans this month to evaluate the plants in your water garden and decide whether you're going to save questionable plants, those that have become too invasive for your garden. Some that look shabby all season long, and tender plants that will have to be overwintered indoors. Some gardeners treat tender floating leaved and marginal plants like annuals and replace them. But if you want to save your tropical water lilies, plan to find some room indoors. And our next topic is planting. And for annuals, in the Piedmont and coastal plains, sow seeds of calliope, foxglove, Johnny Jump-Ups, Lakespur, Money Plant, Stock, and Shirley Iceland, and California poppies directly into well-prepared garden soil before the first expected freeze. These plants need cool temperatures to germinate. Fall sowing tends to produce stronger plants than seeds sown in early spring. Leave the soil surface bare or use a very light mulch. Plant ornamental cabbage and kale, pansies and violas to help them get established quickly before cold weather sets in. Allow at least 6 weeks before the first expected freeze. Mulch pansies in the mountains after the ground freezes. Now is also a good time to set out calendula, dianthus, sweet william, snapdragons, stock, and sweet alyssum before the night temperatures drop consistently below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And for bulbs, spring flowering bulbs require an extended cold period to bloom reliably. When bulbs do not receive sufficient weeks of cold treatment, usually in the warm coastal areas of Zone 8B, they produce flowers close to the ground on shortened stalks, often hidden by the leaves. Coastal gardeners can purchase pre-cooled tulips and other spring flowering bulbs. Alternatively, chill them yourself by storing them in an old refrigerator for a minimum of 10 weeks and up to 16 weeks prior to planting in December or January. After chilling, plant the cool bulbs immediately. Interplant spring flowering bulbs with your ground covers for splashes of color next year. And for edibles, chives, cilantro, dill, and parsley can be direct sown in the fall in the milder areas of the Piedmont and coastal plain, so they will grow during the fall and winter months. Piedmont and coastal plain gardeners can divide chives, thyme, mint, and tarragon when new growth emerges. Plant garlic now for harvest in late summer next year. It likes a sunny, well-drained spot. Set bulb tips 2 inches beneath the surface. Most herbs have lost their best flavor by now. Discontinue drying for winter use. Chives and parsley, however, taste better than ever in cool weather. Use them lavishly. French cooks mince fresh chives and parsley together and let diners spoon desired amounts onto fresh vegetables or baked potatoes. The flavors complement each other, and parsley cuts the oniony aftertaste of chives. Extend the gardening season well into the winter. Lettuce, radish, and spinach can all be grown in cold frames. Piedmont and mountain gardeners might consider buying transplants for quicker results. In cooler weather, insulate the outsides of the frame with banked soil or sawdust. Cover the top with sacks stuffed with straw or other insulation during cold nights. Plant onion sets and garlic cloves now to mid-November in the coastal plain. Plant spinach in October to do well this fall and winter. And for lawns, in the Piedmont, there's still time to reseed bare areas of a cool season lawn or start a new one. But hurry, try to get it completed by mid-month. If you want to overseed your warm season lawn with ryegrass in the coastal plain, start working on it early this month. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, herbaceous peonies can remain undisturbed for many years. When they become overcrowded, however, and blooms are few and far between, they will have to be divided. Divide them when the leaves and shoots are killed by frost. Mountain gardeners should be aware that peonies need 6 to 8 weeks to develop roots before the ground freezes. Ferns can be planted or transplanted in fall. Hardy ferns are best divided in early fall or very early spring before new growth emerges. Ferns such as hay-scented fern and ostrich fern have branching rhizomes on or near the soil surface. These can simply be cut. Make sure, however, that you have a growing tip and one or two intact fronds. Replant the divisions at the same level. Other species, such as cinnamon fern, develop a tangle of rhizomes and roots. You will have to dig up the whole clump and do your best to separate individual plants. Occasionally, ferns develop multiple crowns that can be cut apart. The important thing is not to cover the crowns of the new transplants with more than 1/2 inch of soil and to keep them well watered until they are established. A shallow layer of mulch throughout the growing season will help retain moisture in the soil. There's still time to dig, divide, and replant crowded perennials. In the higher mountain elevations, wait until spring, as winter may kill the young divisions before they have time to become established. Look for perennials that have grown out of bounds or have declined due to overcrowding and have developed a ring of growth with an empty center. And for roses, shrubs, and trees, and vines and ground covers, fall is a perfect season for planting in the Carolinas. Gardeners in the coastal plain and in the milder parts of the Piedmont can even plant throughout late fall and into winter. The cooler temperatures allow the plants to settle in comfortably and concentrate on producing roots. Now is a good time to move roses and shrubs that have outgrown their location. Shrubs normally transplant more readily than trees. Small plants transplant more successfully than do large ones of the same species. Piedmont and coastal gardeners can postpone moves until next month or December, depending on how mild the temperatures are. Mountain gardeners should be mindful of this transplanting rule of thumb. Allow at least 4 weeks of soil temperatures above 40 degrees Fahrenheit after planting to give the shrub some time to settle in before cold winter temperatures. For vines and ground covers, when planting a ground cover on a steep slope, reduce the need for hand weeding by using a geotextile or landscape fabric, which will curb weed growth. Follow these steps for installing landscape fabric. And our next topic is care. For annuals, Piedmont and coastal plain gardeners can pull up frost-tender plants like marigolds, impatiens, and zinnias toward the end of the month before the first first expected freeze. Although it may be disconcerting to lift up completely healthy plants, you need the space to plant cool season annuals, like pansies, in their place. The cool season annuals will need time to settle in before temperatures cool down. Deadhead spent flowers from pansies planted last month. For bulbs, in the fall, cut back lily stalks to soil level after they have turned yellow. Mountain gardeners should lift Canis dahlias gladiola and tuberous begonias after their foliage is killed by frost. Because they won't survive the winter outdoors, they need to be cleansed of soil and stored indoors in a cool but frost-free location. Dig and store caladium bulbs before frost in the Piedmont and coastal plain. For edibles, listen for frost warnings and be prepared to cover tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, and other tender vegetables. The weather often warms up again after the first frost, so this protection can prolong the harvest for weeks. When there is a threat of frost, harvest your beans, cucumbers, eggplants, okra, peppers, and summer squash to avoid frost damage. Bring in tomatoes for ripening when daytime temperatures are consistently below 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Pick only those fruits that have begun to change color. Harvest sweet potatoes before frost, as well as gourds, pumpkins, and winter squash. To store pumpkins, pick only solid, mature pumpkins of a deep orange color. Try not to injure the rind. Decay-causing fungi attack through wounds. Dip them in a chlorine solution of 4 teaspoons bleach per gallon of water. Allow the fruit to dry, but do not rinse until ready to use. Cure them at room temperature for a week to harden the rind. Then store in a cool place. They will keep about 2 months. When you can no longer protect your plants, pull them and add them to the compost heap. Till or spade the soil in cleared areas to expose insects that are planning to overwinter. Then plant a hardy cover crop or mulch with shredded leaves, fresh manure, or spoiled hay to minimize winter erosion and provide nutrients for next year. Mountain gardeners can plant a cover crop of clover or winter grain as wanted. Semi-hardy vegetables that can survive repeated light frosts in the 30 to 32 degree Fahrenheit range include beets, Chinese cabbage, cauliflower, celery, collards, green onions, potatoes, bib and leaf lettuce, mustard, parsnips, radishes, salsify, spinach, and Swiss chard. The flavor of some of these, such as collards and parsnips, is much improved by exposure to a spell of below freezing temperature. Hardy vegetables that can survive temperatures as low as 20 degrees Fahrenheit before finally being killed include cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, carrots, kale, leeks, rutabagas, and turnips. Upon thawing out, these hardy vegetables will continue to grow between freezes. Even when the tops of such vegetables as carrots and turnips are killed by cold, the roots will remain in good condition if plants are mulched with a generous layer of insulating material, such as hay or leaves. This will prevent the ground itself from freezing and allow you to harvest the fresh roots as you wish during the winter. You may, however, find that voles discover and enjoy your cache of overwintering produce first. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And we will continue next podcast with the end of October, the more information on October. Thank you.